Welcome to the Fire and Security Chat, brought to you by Corson Fire and Security, where we talk about the technology and equipment used to protect and secure life and property. I'm your host, Aaron Whitaker, and today I'm with Richard Phillips, Security Alarm and Monitoring Sales at the Corson Fire and Security Nashville branch. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Aaron.
On today's episode, I will be talking to Richard about school security and how Corson Fire and Security helps schools of all sizes to protect and secure their staff, students, and guests. In recent years, school security has kind of changed significantly.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously, you know, we see the news. There's been lots of incidents, security incidents. Can you kind of talk about the changes you've seen over the past decade or so as far as schools and school security?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a lot more eyes on the situation, obviously, with current events and the tragedies that have struck us throughout the recent years. It has definitely brought attention to the holes in the security of every school that's out there. And tremendous steps have been taken towards the platform, if you will, visibility or situational awareness. Is really where I'm seeing significant changes. I need to know ahead of time of a situation so that I can appropriately react and respond to any situation. It has advantages across day-to-day operation as well as those worst-case scenarios. Yeah. So they're really finding great usefulness out of the systems that we're implementing.
Like, let's go back 10 years or maybe more. What was kind of the first security implementations into schools? Was it intrusion?
It started down a path 10 years. It's really, you know, video has been a big, big aspect of it, getting visibility of who's where, having eyes all over the place, as well as restricting access. That's when I really started seeing that becoming more prevalent in the schools, creating layers into the school before I can just walk in a door where I'd have, you know, there's so many doors across a school where you can go in and out of, locking those doors down, keeping those in a state of, you know, perimeter protection and funneling visitors into certain locations where they can address, assess if that individual's supposed to be there, and then get them to, you know, someone who can guide them through the school to do whatever they have to do. Coming into the office, checking in, going through, you know, visitor management systems so that they can check and verify that that person is supposed to be there. It can be as simple as, you know, picking up your kids as well with divorced parents. There's been innumerable situations that that those things can help address.
So nowadays, you know, in schools you're seeing, I mean, the old technology of intrusion, whether someone breaks a window to break into the school at night for vandalism, to security cameras to keep an eye on the students, on the people entering and on the grounds, and access control, allowing, controlling who comes in, who comes out.
Yeah, much more of a focus now on while we're here. We're going to use this system while we're here, not so much as, hey, somebody broke in last night and took this or stole that or, you know, vandalized this. That's still a threat, and these systems still allow them and give them better tools to address those situations. But the focus is definitely while we're here, while these students are on site, we need to do everything we can to protect them and keep them safe from the environment.
Okay. What are the schools most often requesting when it comes to school security nowadays that they don't currently have?
Good video and the ability to lock their school down and funnel traffic. So access and video are really the big two mainstays.
Okay. And do kind of do those kind of work together?
Or? Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So it's a living, breathing organism with the security system, and it's only as good as the people behind it. And you have to have a good interface to be able to utilize it in the right ways. When you're dealing with a threat and it's an active threat and you have students on site and there is a situation or an altercation that occurs, information is key. And the ability to get information to the right people so that they can assess the situation and appropriately respond is paramount. That's where video systems working together with access control systems and intrusion systems can give you that information, and having the interface to get all that information funneled to you and something that you can digest quickly, easily, is really where focus is.
Okay. And as you mentioned, better video, is that mainly for better identification of the occupants, the people?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ability to determine if that is the individual or perpetrator that is in question. So in a school hallway, you've got, 300 people mm-hmm. running around, and it's absolute chaos in a situation. To be able to pick out that individual, you need to have the pixel density present in your camera. So you have to design around a certain level of pixel density to be able to determine that you are the individual in question. This is the same guy that walked through the front door. That's the same guy walking down that hallway vis-a-vis, and then mm-hmm. creating a system for the video to be able to capture that at key locations mm-hmm. allows us to utilize other tools that are now becoming available in the industry to even, better the response, such as analytics. Facial recognition softwares are out there right now that can pick out an individual that you push through the system mm-hmm. and it'll tell you where they're at.
And track them.
Yep. And then be able to track them through there.
Now that technology that's out there. But as far as for schools, you kind of see that as that. I would assume that that's very pricey.
Not as pricey as you would think. It's actually pretty reasonable. It's, you just have to design around it.
Okay.
It's a new technology mm-hmm. and it's a burgeoning technology. So you've got a lot of proof that needs to come out of it. So there's a lot of skeptics on the usefulness of it mm-hmm. Or the viability of it from that perspective. But once you see it and you see it working, it's amazing. Yeah. The technology's there and, it's come a long way. But, it still has a ways to go. But that's where I would say, this future technology is going to be further and further implemented in schools and other facilities right. across the country.
So probably maybe 5 years, 10 years down the road, you might see it almost in
it could
every
be a commonplace. Or, yeah, yeah, commonplace. Yeah,
common. Okay. As far as that technology goes, beyond the identifying certain people, and you mentioned like divorced parents,
mm-hmm.
I know sometimes there's this person should never pick up this child, and mm-hmm. there's those incidences with. The access control, that would be probably more of a database type of a thing if someone comes in to pick up a child or whatever, and they would
That would be more of your visitor management platform okay. where you're going to be able to associate a child with authorized individuals.
Right.
So okay. grandma and grandpa could come get him, but Uncle Jerry, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
Or dad is not available to pick him up. Yep. Mom is there. Those visitor management systems can cross associate the child with a group of authorized people. The younger the child, the more of an issue that becomes. So your mm-hmm. your elementary schools, you'll see those implemented more okay. than your older son from the perspective of the child.
And is those systems, is that part of the access control system? Is that, do we sell that or is that integrate with?
It does to a degree. It's a separate component
right.
that kind of sits on its own.
Okay.
Video and access work together, mm-hmm. but they're completely separate systems in a lot of respects. They have different functions, but the parity and the symmetry between or synergy between them is fantastic when you set it up right. Just the same way as intrusion alarm, mm-hmm. When you set that up. Those three are kind of an effect that creates a very strong barrier or perimeter across a building. If you have your intrusion alarm integrated in with your access control, integrated in with your video surveillance, at that point, if a door opens, I've got a camera there, I can see the individual, I've got the intelligence and the software to pop up mm-hmm. a video to show you that somebody went in or out this door that we weren't anticipating and is not supposed to happen. And that gives information to an individual or a group of individuals that allows them to then react and respond accordingly. Okay. So that's where the interoperability of these systems come into play. With your visitor management system, That's typically a human interaction effect where they're going to have a database of red light, green light. I'm allowed to do this or I'm not allowed to do this. I'm allowed to be here. I'm not allowed to be here. But that's going to take an individual. As in all cases with this, it's just technology. Yep. It's only as good as the people that are running it and using it. And that's why training and scenario trainings with police as well as first responders are so important in these systems to make sure that the schools are not only understand how to use it, but are planning their strategies around that technology as well.
Okay. Going back to the facial recognition technology. Mm-hmm. Is there, do you see, and I don't know if this exists yet, but like a criminal database, a kind of a police tie-in to where it can identify that these people are wanted or, you know, are dangerous individuals that shouldn't be near a school?
We may get there at some point in time. Those systems are closed right now.
Yeah.
The current design of the facial recognition, and again, this is where I'm talking, future technologies.
Right.
As you continue to have interoperability, that's going to require a database and a scan to connect those dots. Mm-hmm. And we're not there yet.
Okay.
And that's really not the intent and purpose of it. Of current technology, where that focus is on the facial recognition is alternative means. It covers a lot of bases. So they've got readers that use cameras that mm-hmm. can determine if that is you. So I don't now have to give you a code to get through a door or an access card to get through a door or use your phone to get through a door. I can use your face to get through a door. And it's hard to replicate, someone's face in that regards. And that's kind of the theory behind the technology. One potential use for that is using in that aspect. But if I have you as a profile, as a student that I load in there, into the system, now I can pick you out because you're this is the individual. I want to know where John is right now. I can push a button and I can pull through the system and see where you've been, and it'll pick your face out of any of the cameras that have seen you. So I can see where you're at and what's going on. If I see an individual go through a door and I want to know where that individual is right now, here's my snapshot, run the software and it'll, and it spits out where you're at. So it's pretty amazing technology, or where you've been rather.
That could go beyond just kids skipping classes.
Oh, absolutely. It does. Yeah. It does, but it applies there as well.
Right.
So that's the nice thing about this technology is it gives them so many more tools for the day-to-day. And the day-to-day really is the 90% of problems for schools that they mm-hmm. deal with. Everyone is afraid of that 1% threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're building towards that, because of the risk involved with that. But the day-to-day usage of these systems is profound when you look at the tools that the organizations have at their fingertips now to be able to manage the less than life-threatening mm-hmm. Situations that hit a school on a regular basis.
The other part I was thinking about was the license plate recognition
mm-hmm.
cameras.
Mm-hmm.
In those instances, you can pretty much control or know who's on the grounds, coming in before they even get to the building. It could be if you have every parent, every person that picks the child up, their license plates, all these teachers, everybody else, if a non-registered vehicle is approaching.
You would. The license plate recognition is going to, and then there's various ways to use license plate recognition. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, and in the past, it's been after the fact. But advancements in that technology have now pushed to a point where, we can determine if and put a flag on a particular set of plates so mm-hmm. that if that vehicle enters the school property or passes by the license plate camera, that can notify individuals. Same thing with the facial recognition. If I have an individual that I don't want on site,
mm-hmm.
I can't expect to have a staff meeting and tell, 100 people, this is the person to look out for, and also look out for this person, this person, this person, and also these 42 vehicles. You can put all that into your system. And the moment that event happens, the system will notify you that, hey, this thing that you told me to tell you about is now happening. Just want to let you know so that they can react and respond accordingly. It just allows them to get in front of situations instead of being behind the situation after it happened.
Which a lot of schools nowadays are having what they call resource officers.
Yeah, SROs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, in those instances, they can be alerted to out of normal or, you know, stuff that's they should investigate before it ever.
You're absolutely right. And I think the SROs are a tremendous help to schools.
Yeah.
You know, in years past, it's been facilities, maintenance, administrative folks that I've dealt with at schools to deal with the security system. And they've got, you know, 15 other tasks at hand that they're responsible for. But an SRO, that is his job. That is his focus. And having a focused individual who's thinking about safety and security at all times is a big advantage.
Yeah. Going back to the kind of the convenience factor, the 99% of the time what this technology is used for, if a child is being picked up early by their parents, license plate reader or facial recognition could kind of alert the front office to, you know, call the child up ahead of time, you know, that their parents are arriving and kind of not have that delay in, you know, when the parent arrives, have to go in the office and then call the child, you know.
I mean, yeah, the chaos of child pickup, daily child pickup and drop-ups, yeah.
And again, I mean, this is all kind of future thinking, but, you know, I mean, the technology is there and it's pretty, you know, exciting to...
Oh, it is.
See where
it's
going.
And I'll tell you, when you put the tools in front of people, they will find new ways to use that technology.
Yeah.
You know, I've used a screwdriver to take screws in and out of walls, but I've used it for a lot of other things as well. Mm-hmm. And it's those creative uses for this technology. Once you put it in front of someone, like, hey, I can use it for this. Hey, I can use it for this. I can use it for this. So that's where you'll really start to see advancements in that as well. And then the industry as a whole starts to expand around that as well.
Let's kind of dive into, let's go to classroom doors. Normally, you know, when I went to school, I think classroom doors, sometimes they were locked from the inside and sometimes they had a key lock. And even before that, I mean, when I was real little, they just kept them open. I mean, there was no really security at schools. Nowadays, there's kind of two roads. It seems like there's the more technology, the strike lock, mag lock types of doors that can be controlled electronically. And then there's kind of the jams or whatever, almost throwing a school desk in front of a door. But it's, you know, people are selling these products to kind of barricade, you know, themselves in. Do you see what type of, I guess, control does a school have when going to the better technology, going to the strike lock and mag lock technology of, you know, electronically controlling doors?
So the ability to electronically lock and unlock doors has a very powerful effect across a school. So with a threat, and once a threat is assessed, and we've determined that you need to secure your perimeter and secure areas inside of the school as well. When a locked door is nothing more than a barrier that slows someone down to allow a first responder to engage the situation and properly address it. And in a situation where you're going to lock down a school and or lock down classrooms, the advantage of an access control device, which is connected to a central brain, if you will, or a control center that allows you to push a button and everything gets shut down at that point, has, in my opinion, a much more powerful effect to instantly create a scenario of security. The classroom environments, and they're effective, but it requires interaction from the teacher and the forethought to grab it and get it into place. You have a lot of different technologies that are out there right now to address that situation. Some of them being the barrier bars and the locks, which are temporary, but will, you know, help buttress and secure that door to be a little more stiffened,
secure
of a barrier than what it is with just a lock on the frame. The old locks that I'm used to are the plunger style locks. Those are going away because you can get a kid that can lock the door down, and you've moved to more intruder function locks. That's for the locks themselves from a mechanical standpoint. An intruder function locks, that is, you know, and this is not something that Corson sells, but in the industry is there, and I see it quite a bit, where, you know, you can use a key on the inside to lock the door or unlock the door as well as the outside. And that functionality allows you to not have to go out into the hall and do what you've got to do. You the door's closed. You just kind of go up there and boom, and now it's locked.
Okay.
And it can't, you know, can't be opened from the inside or the outside. So that's a scenario that really, and a blend of that technology, it helps tremendously to help secure that. But is one better than the other? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think they all have their usefulness and uses on that. So, you know, it really depends on the threat and what you're trying to address.
Okay.
But I'm a big fan of, you know, access control doors that are live and in the system with the ability to push a button and lock that door down instantly across all locations.
Now, I threw out the term strike, lock, maglock, and I'm green to this.
Oh, sure.
What does that mean? What is a mag?
So a maglock is, it gives you the same effect. So right. A maglock, you would put it on the top of a door, and it secures with a holding force. Yeah, there's a plate that goes into the door itself, and then you've got a box, metal box on the frame. Once those connect, you can have up to 1,200 pounds of holding force from that maglock to secure that door. There's strategies where we'll use those on perimeter doors if we want to create a lockdown scenario outside of the mechanical egress on a door.
Mm-hmm.
Strikes themselves are typically cut into the frame of the door, and you will have free egress, meaning I can go up to the door, I can use the mechanical lever or crash bar and walk out freely without interacting with that strike. But on the outside, I have to use the electronic credentials to allow me through that point if it's in a locked state.
Okay.
A maglock doesn't use the mechanical egress device, crash bar or door handle. Doesn't use that. It's a bolt at the top of the door. So if you're in a, you know, a more secure environment, you could put a maglock at the door as and use that in an emergency state only, as well as having the traditional electronic there to hold it down. So I haven't used that a lot. It's a more expensive method, but in a you know, higher security environment, that is strategy that I can employ to make sure that, you know, I don't have ways around it. But, you know, so strikes go into the frame, maglocks go on the top of the door, and you'll disable your mechanical locking devices. And then you also have electrified lock sets, electrified crash bars, where the mechanical device itself has the electronics built into it as well. So really three different methods of using that.
In a fire situation, when the fire alarms are pulled and the police or the fire department arrives, they usually want a open pass or easy pass of egress. Does the access control system kind of control what scenarios? So if fire department have to come into the, I guess, the exterior doors, they can unlock them? Or, I mean, how is...
Typically, you'll have a Knox box. That Knox box will have a card in it.
Okay.
Is how that traditionally has worked. There are strategies. I mean, with the access control, you can program the doors to do anything you want them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they can unlock or lock in any environment if I have an electronic trigger that comes from the fire alarm system or anything else for that matter. I can tell the access control system to have this door locked in this state or unlocked in this state if this trigger comes in. So they're very flexible in that regards, but security and perimeter security is typically important for schools specifically, because if I can just go up and pull a pull station and all the doors unlock, you can see the challenge there. So typically they remain locked, and then there's a Knox box that allows people to, you know, get the credential to get inside, whether that be a key bypass or an access card that allows them through.
Okay. And a Knox, for those who don't know, a Knox box is a little black box.
Yeah, usually. A little black box on the wall. The fire department's going to have a key for it to be able to get into it.
Okay, and that contains either the card, access card, or an actual key to unlock the door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or both in some cases.
Yeah. Okay. I guess it goes to the next question is, how do these, can these systems, these security systems integrate do they integrate into the fire protection system, the fire panel, or?
You can, yeah, absolutely. So access control is really kind of a central brain, and having a security operations center, that's the little nerve center of everything. Everything can flow into it. And most of your, access control systems that you'll use in schools, if they want to go down the path of having a physical locations map of every device, you can tie those in with fire devices, mm-hmm. To give notification. Because if I can take every device and throw it on a map, and now here's a grid and a layout of all my intrusion devices, all my cameras, all my access control devices. I'm going to throw my fire detection devices in there. I could throw anything I wanted to in there with an input or an output. And now I've got a map that lays it out and shows me this device is going off. If I've got a camera close by, I can pull it up and I can see the camera. Yeah. That has tremendous usefulness. Those are expensive systems, and not all schools are ready for, to bear the burden of that expense. But your tier one schools, have a bigger budget and typically are looking more for platforms like that.
Okay. The other question, as far as the systems, do schools typically, do they tie in with the police? I know I've read sometimes the police have access to kind of the videos or the systems.
The smarter strategies that I've seen always involve police for training on that system, awareness of what type of system it is, and access to that system in the event of a crisis.
Yeah.
I've worked with schools where we've implemented the video systems, and part of our training included the law enforcement in accessing and working with that system upon approval from the school that they now have access to it, so they can turn that on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a crisis, boom, the police now have access to this video, and they can use their mobile devices or connected devices to get visibility into the camera system and see what's going on. Key part of that is training. Schools work with those police departments ahead of time to go through training strategies and theoretical scenarios of how are we going to, approach this situation, how are we going to address that. And in that, those cases, it involves multiple legs of law enforcement and other first responders as well, to have them there ahead of time so that when or if a crisis happens, they're ready for it, prepared, and they know the steps to take.
Mm-hmm.
Every second counts in those situations, and every little bit of information helps to make the right decisions on where to go, where to be, and how to, divert people away from certain situations.
Yeah, I know the fire alarm panels, sometimes at the front of schools, they have what, annunciators, which basically tells the fire department where the fire alarm smoke detector is going off, where the fire is potentially at.
Yep.
That's kind of the same idea with the security, to be able to tell you, the police, quickly and where the incident is occurring. And
yes.
To act, so they're not wasting time trying to figure out
they don't have
which
to
way to go.
Yeah, yeah. The dragnet shrinks significantly when they know the approximate area that people are at.
One last camera technology I wanted to talk about was the thermal cameras.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, it's been around, but I guess the price has come down significantly. It's more kind of approachable, somewhat, it's not as, I guess, affordable as the typical high def cameras, but that, when you talking about thermal, it's basically picking up, heat mapping, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always thought that was more like to see at night, to be able to spot a person, walking through the woods or whatever. Or you think about the police helicopters being able to look down and find the criminal or suspect running away, I sat in a seminar or a meeting the other day, and they were talking about using it for kind of monitoring laboratories, boiler rooms, even server, instances where you want to keep track of temperatures, and if something gets too hot, to alert you before there's a fire incident or anything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of industrial applications for thermal technology, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that the pricing is becoming more in line. That's going to allow it to be further implemented, you know, because I see tremendous advantages for everyone to be able to see inside of a machine. Boiler, is heating up to a level that's not comfortable. Allows me to react and respond to that situation before a catastrophe happens.
Yeah.
And those catastrophes often, you know, exceed the value of a thermal camera mm-hmm. being implemented by 100,000 fold, you know. So it absolutely pays for itself in the, you know, scenario of visibility and being able to stop something before the worst happens.
Yeah.
So machinery and I've seen them used for innumerable instances. They're very useful for perimeter security and for picking people out in nighttime situations, which I think is what we've oftentimes seen thermal technology implemented for.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely correct that it is used for so many different things. Turbines. I've seen a lot of turbines mm-hmm. that it's used for just to monitor a bank of turbines. And if one turbine starts getting hot, it starts glowing. That triggers in the system that sends a notification to an individual that, hey, you need to take a look at this before it gets worse.
I mean, it goes back to the screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how are you going to use it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's, here's a cool tool and like, oh, I could use it like this and that. Mm-hmm. And I know they kind of threw out there that a lot of schools, they, and this is kind of the typical, you know, use of it, that a lot of schools spend a lot of money on their football team and their football field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most expensive piece of grass, you know, or property on their school. And then a thermal camera shooting the whole, you know, covering the whole perimeter can basically alert them right away at night if some kids are coming on there to tear up the grass or write graffiti or whatever.
Exactly. You know, it's like, exactly. It's very accurate in that regards too. So
yeah,
it's a lot of different uses for it.
The last question I wanted to ask you was what other, I guess, and we kind of talked a lot about it, but what other new technology or emerging technology do you see being implemented and utilized in schools like the next 5 years or so?
So there's a number of new technologies that are just now hitting the industry. There's a push for smartphone interaction with access control
mm-hmm.
that has started to gain more prevalence. And there's certainly a pull there because everyone has a smartphone. And so I see that technology continuing to advance potentially. Smart card technology and access control giving, you know, more and more abilities beyond just the access control platform, using your same card or credential to purchase lunch or stop at a vending machine, and you know, having an account on there is certainly a technology that I see becoming more prevalent, as well as in, you know, somewhat connected devices can work through that. Now that doesn't mean that we're tying the lunchroom in with the access control system.
Yeah.
It just means that there's technology built into that credential that also I can use for this if I have the right technology on that side. They don't talk necessarily, mm-hmm. but using that same bridge allows me to do multiple things with it. Cameras is always going to continue to progress, and I see the analytics in cameras only getting smarter and smarter and smarter and being able to determine more and more and more. With analytics, you always have to have a set of eyes to verify and vet that this situation is a crisis or not. But they're getting better at telling you, I think this is a problem. You mm-hmm. need to look at it. And I see that technology getting more and more advanced and better at giving you the information that you need to be able to address a situation before it really starts happening.
Yeah. Let's on the analytics part, and I don't think we really talked about this, but we talked about facial recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But the analytics part of cameras, and this is almost every camera out there, is you can draw perimeters and literally map the area that the camera is covering to alert you if someone walks across this line or mm-hmm. across this path. Is that what you're kind of referring
to? Oh, yeah. So camera technology today is light years of where it was 5-10 years ago. I mean, some of the triggers that you can put into place, line detection is one of your simpler methods. motion detection has been around for, you know, for eons, but they've taken that and put it on steroids. So I can highlight an area and I can say this area here, if somebody walks a certain direction, if somebody's walking towards me, I want to know. If a person is walking towards me, not a vehicle, I want to know. If a vehicle is coming into this area, I want to know. You can pinpoint specific things much more so than is this something is moving, has gotten past the point to where it can start to determine shape and associate that with a person or a vehicle or something else. Somebody leaving something in an area, I set down a bag and then I keep walking. Oh, yeah. That can trigger an event. That's very useful in airports, but I think it's useful in schools as well. Your VCA searches to be able to highlight something and pick out information quickly from the video versus back in the day when you just had to review hours of video to go through and try and find your stuff. There's tools there to help you quickly find the information you're looking for, such as facial recognition, where I can look at archive video of what happened 10 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago, and it tells me the relevant information without having to search through all of these cameras across a network. Because in a school, you've got so much information that's available to your fingertips, being able to sift through that and find what you need at that point in time in a quick, efficient manner is where analytics comes in and where all of the interoperability tools come into play to give you the information of what you need at that moment. While everything else is still there, it's not pertinent to right now. And right now I need to know who came through this door, and it'll, you know, quickly and efficiently spit that out to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the old days is security camera was basically giving you a video. Now it's data.
Oh yeah. Now it's data that can be manipulated and interpreted and you know, spit through a machine that's going to tell you the information that you ask of it.
It's pretty cool. Thank you for joining me. If anybody has any more questions, you're in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're serving the pretty much the security sales in this area. Okay. So if you're in the Nashville area, you can contact Richard Phillips at the Corson Fire and Security Nashville branch.
Absolutely.
If you're anywhere in the rest of our area that we cover, you can contact your local branch, or you can go to Corson.com and contact us online there. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. If you like today's episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and rate us on iTunes. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, and other popular podcast players. Search for Corson Fire and Security Chat to find it. Thanks once again for listening, and I will see you next week for our next episode of the Corson Fire and Security Chat podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. The information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is believed to be reliable, but Corson Fire and Security assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. It does not constitute professional advice. The listener of this podcast is responsible for verifying the information's accuracy from all available sources, including the product manufacturer. The authority having jurisdiction should be contacted for code interpretations.